You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Hey, today I just want to recap real quick. We've been talking about Jesus is, right? Jesus is. And we've hit a couple of different things. At the end of the day, more than you knowing all the scriptures, more than you knowing all the rules and the regulations, you need to know Jesus. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many rules you know. If you don't know Jesus, it ain't going to help you at all. So this month, we've been talking about Jesus is. We told you that Jesus is grace, right? We told you that Jesus is a friend of sinners. And we all said amen to that because everybody in this room's got some sin issues going on in their life. So it's really good that Jesus is our friend. We said that Jesus is the point. He's the focus. He's the center of everything that we do. We talked to you about Jesus being here and the fact that Jesus is with you wherever you go. I love the verse in Psalms where David is talking and he says, even if I have to make my bed in the grave, Jesus is there. And I just love that thought that Jesus is wherever we are because he just loves you so much and he just wants to hang out with you. Have you ever had a friend like that? They just loved you so much they want to hang out with you? Nobody raised their hand. Y'all some mean folks up in here. Nobody likes to hang out with you. We're going to try and get you saved today. Listen, let me tell you something. My wife and I are not perfect by any stretch. I'm more perfect than she is, of course. But my wife and I are not perfect. And have you ever done the book, The Five Love Languages? And it talks about how you interact with your spouse or how you interact with other people is depending on how they receive love and then also how you give love. Right? So I show love by giving gifts. I'm a gift-giving kind of guy. I love to give gifts. She, on the other hand, doesn't receive love that way, so it's kind of a barrier, a little breakdown. She doesn't like gifts as much as I do to give them. But one of the things she loves is spending quality time. I don't like spending quality time for nothing. Like, for me, spending quality time and her idea of spending quality time are totally different. And so we always had this issue coming up through marriage. When we first got married, she wanted to go to bed at 9 o'clock. Right? And I wanted to go to bed at like 11 o'clock. And so I wanted to stay up and watch TV. But she's saying, why don't you just come on and go to bed with me? And I didn't like that. I didn't want to go lay down in the bed. You know what I mean? Some of you fellas understand what I'm talking about. I didn't want to do that. And what I didn't understand is she just loved me so much, she just wanted to hang out with me. She just wanted to be with me. Now, my thought is if she really loved me, she would have just come hang out with me and watch TV. See? I don't want to get that right. We were talking the other day about how our schedule right now is just from now to December, we just got a crazy schedule. She's not only teaching, but she's also going to school. And then I'm pastoring and not going to school, but I've got 3 kids. And then on top of that, we've got small groups that we lead and small groups that we go to. And I'm playing softball, which our first game is tomorrow night, 8:15. Probably. The city of Trussell's not sure yet. So we've just got all this stuff happening, and it's like every day of the week something's going on. On Fridays, whenever we have Fridays off, she had to take a test. I mean, just crazy, craziness. And one of the things I told her the other day, I said, babe, let me tell you something. We may not get a lot of time together, but what I'm praying is that the little bit of time we do get with each other, that it would be anointed, that it would be full. And God is the same way about you. God's saying, look, I get it. You can't come pray for an hour in the middle of your day, or you can't spend every single waking moment with me, although he is always with us, but you can't spend every single waking moment focused on me. But let me tell you something. The time that we get is special. And I want it. I crave it. I desire to be with every single one of you. He loves you that much. He loves you that much. And you may be thinking, man, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done in my past. You don't know how jacked up I really am. He doesn't care He knew how jacked up you are before you even got jacked up. He knew what you were going to do. And he still chooses to hang out with you. Man, God loves you so much. You don't even know it. I don't even know it. But today what I want to do is I want to give you one thought. And that thought is this: Jesus is better. Jesus is better. He's better than anything you can imagine. He's better than anything you can come up with. He's better than anything you can do. You can't earn his love because he's better than that. He's better than your sickness. He's better than your boss. He's better than your spouse. He's better than all the money you'll ever make. Jesus is better. And if we can get the concept today that Jesus is better, it'll make our life a whole lot easier. Because we'll know, hey, what if the boss man tells me I got to take a pay cut? It doesn't matter. Jesus is better than this job. He can do something else. He can help me out. He can supply my needs because Jesus is better. What if the doctor tells me I got cancer? It doesn't matter because Jesus is better. Right? Yeah, but what if I die? It doesn't matter because Jesus is better. You're going to go be with him anyway. And being with him is better than being here. I talked to a family. Perry and I have met some new friends at this small group we attend. And it's a small group that it's different pastors from different denominations, and we just kind of all came together, and we had a mutual friend that got us together. And it's so crazy, man. This couple, they're at a Methodist church right now, and so we were talking to them, and they had a baby pass away on them, 4 years old. 4 years old, baby died. And it was amazing. We were talking in this small group about being blessed. And that's something they kind of choke on a little bit, right? How can you say I'm blessed? Jesus wants me blessed if my baby just died. And it was so crazy. The wife, through tears, she just says, look, she says, I know we're blessed. We're blessed, but he's blessed more than we are because he's where we want to be. He's already made it. And it's just up to us to get there. And I thought, man, what a great thought in the middle of tragedy to understand that Jesus is better. Jesus is better. Let's pray today before we get into the word, before we read John 14. Lord, I love you and I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for a great group of people today. I thank you that most of them are going to stay awake and listen to what you got to say. So I just pray today that you would minister to us, speak to our hearts, show us that you are better than anything we can imagine. And for those that fall asleep during my sermon, I pray that you just give them your word as they sleep in their good dreams. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's get going today. Let's get going today. Y'all think I'm joking, but I look out there, I see y'all sleeping. The other day we had somebody sleeping so hard, man, we were afraid they were going to start choking on flies. So you got to be careful. Be careful if you sleep. I notice it. John chapter 14, verse 6. Now the disciples are really dumb, right? Like most of the time, disciples just don't get what Jesus is going for. And I don't fault them. I know I'm the same way sometimes. But in John chapter 14, Jesus is trying to explain to them, hey, I'm not going to be here forever. At some point, I'm going back to the Father. And he's trying to explain this concept to them. And he's really trying to help them out because in the Jewish faith, they had so many laws and rules that you just couldn't keep up with them. At any moment, you're going to break a law. At any moment, you're going to be unclean. At any moment, you're going to do something wrong. And it was just so hard to get to God. They made the path to God so difficult that very few people could get there. And Jesus comes in and is trying to explain to them that he's better. I'm better. Not that the law goes away. The law is so good, I just fulfill it. And so therefore, I'm better than the law. The book of Hebrews says this. It says Jesus is better than the prophets. He's better than the priest. It says Jesus is better than all the sacrifices. It says Jesus is better like 1,000 times. And Jesus is trying to explain this to the disciples, and he says this in verse 6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I want to just, for a few minutes, just talk to you about those three things today. That Jesus is a better way, he's a better truth, and he's a better life. He's a better way, a better truth, and a better life. I got a couple of scriptures that we're going to hit this morning. One of them is, let's start off with a better way. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Jesus, God understands this concept that he is so much better than we are, right? He's better than we are, and it's not close. Like I said earlier, it's not even close. Like, my thoughts don't even compare to his thoughts. And Jesus just has this crazy way of looking at life. And if we could ever get a hold of it, the Bible says that we can have the mind of Christ. We have access to it. We're not going to achieve it on our own, but we have access to every one of his thoughts. We have access through Jesus to the way he sees, to the way he talks. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit fills you, and one of the reasons the Holy Spirit fills you is to remind you of everything that Jesus did and everything that Jesus said. right? So we've got access. Now here's the thing. When Jesus looks at something, he doesn't see what you see. Jesus looks at a loaf of bread. And when I'm making sandwiches at home every morning, until just recently, my kids just started complaining that I don't give them enough food. And so now I got to buy them school lunches. And so, I can't please anybody. You know, this is one of those things. So I get out this loaf of bread the other day, and I just look at how much bread we go through in our house. I pull out a loaf of bread, and I start getting out two pieces for Gabriel, two pieces for Emma, two pieces for Colt, two pieces for Perry, two pieces for me. And I'm like, man, there's no bread left. I got the two end pieces. You know, they're just sitting there, just lonely as can be, right? Nobody even likes those. You only eat end pieces when you ain't got nothing else to eat. You know what I'm saying? And you know what's funny? Nowadays, they sell this bread that's like, they call it like flat bread or whatever, or sandwiches things or whatever, and it's real thin, sliced, little, already packaged things for sandwiches. All it is the end pieces. And they're just tricking us, making us pay more money for the end pieces. I thought about that the other day. I'm not buying those anymore. I'm just going to save all my end pieces and put them in a plastic bag. And then I'm good. I feel healthier just because I'm eating the end pieces. So anyways, I don't know where I was talking about. Bread. We got a whole loaf of bread. We're just making sandwiches. And that's for one day. And I start looking at that loaf of bread, and I'm thinking, this loaf of bread feeds 5 people for one day. When Jesus looks at the loaf of bread, he says, I can feed thousands of people with that. What are you talking about? I can feed 5,000 men, women, and children on top of that. I'll feed them all. Just give me a loaf of bread. Give me a couple fish. We'll take care of it. Why? Because he sees things different than we see them. Whenever he looks at your life, at all the things that you think are wrong, he sees something better. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When Jesus looks at you, he sees him in you. So whenever you think, I can't do this, whenever I can't go there, I can't do that, then he's looking at you saying, I can do it. I can do it because I'm in you, so therefore you can do it, and we'll do it together. You need to understand he sees things different than you see them. In Mark chapter 8, you don't have to look at this necessarily. You can if you want to. Basically what's happened is, twice Jesus has fed thousands of people with a loaf of bread, right? Twice. Now you and I would think, if we saw somebody do it twice, not just one time. Like if Jesus feeds thousands of people one time with a loaf of bread, then you're just thinking, okay, it's just magic bread. Like at this point, right, it may not always be Jesus. But then when he does it a second time, you would think the disciples would get that. So they all get on a boat in Mark chapter 8, and they're going somewhere. And as they're traveling on the boat, all of a sudden, the disciples realize, oh, man. After all that bread that he just multiplied, we only grabbed one loaf. Like, all we got is one loaf. We're in trouble. Jesus is going to be mad at us for having one loaf. How stupid can you be? If you know Jesus can multiply the one loaf, it doesn't matter. I could have grabbed a piece of bread and just give it to Jesus. Man, just multiply that. We'll all eat it, right? And they're just getting so upset and worried we only grabbed one loaf. And Jesus starts talking to them about something totally different. He's talking to them about the Pharisees, and they can't listen to Jesus because all they're thinking about is the one loaf of bread. That's a lot like you. You come to church sometimes, and I'm trying to tell you some good stuff, and all you can think about is food later. To be honest, that's like me too. Sometimes I'm supposed to be preaching. All I can think about is what's for lunch. Listen, here's what Jesus says to them. Aware of their discussion. In other words, they're trying to talk, and they're like my sister-in-law. They can't whisper. And so Jesus knows what they're saying, and they say, that just made me laugh a little bit because I just think about my sister-in-law and my mom. Two people that can't whisper to save their life. We'll be sitting in a room and someone walks in and be like, look at that guy's clothes. I'm like, oh, please shut up. Please. He's huge and he's bigger than me and he's going to kill me to get to you. And so anyways, they need to get saved. Pray for them. Aware of their discussion, Jesus said this in verse 17 of Mark 8. Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Verse 18, do you have eyes but fail to see and ears and fail to hear? Don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for 5,000, how many basketfuls you picked up? In other words, Jesus is saying to these guys, listen, do you not perceive? Can you not think the way I think? Can you not see the way I see? You've hung out with me this whole time. You've watched me do miracles and you still can't see what I see. Jesus is telling us at some point, he is a better way. That word way in there means a better manner of thinking and living. Jesus says, I got a whole better way for you to even look at life. I got a better way for you to see your problems, to see your kids, to see your spouse. I've got a better way for you to think. I've got a better way for you to conduct your lifestyle. And all you got to do is tap into it. All you got to do is learn the better way. See, if we can learn to look at things the way Jesus looks at things, it'll change the way we operate. You're struggling with pornography, and you learn to look at that porn the way Jesus would look at that porn. When Jesus looks at that girl on that magazine or that guy on that computer screen, you know what Jesus thinks? Jesus doesn't think lustful thoughts like we would. Jesus looks at that and he says, I love that person. I care for that person. That person needs me to get out of what they're in. All of a sudden we start looking at it like that and you don't want to look at it anymore. Right? When we start thinking about sin in our life, when you start thinking about, let's just pick a sin, any sin, alcoholism, you start thinking about that the way Jesus thinks about it. He doesn't want his children's minds messed up. He doesn't want you losing function of your body and of your capacities. He doesn't want you doing that, right? Because he looks at that a different way than you look at it. Prescription drugs, man, that people get hooked on prescription drugs like crazy, and they sit up in church and act like nothing's wrong, but whenever they go home, they dope up. And they think it's okay because it's not illegal drugs. I have no idea why I'm saying this right now. Except maybe someone in the room needs this. Let me tell you something. Jesus has a better way of living. Jesus has a better way of looking at your pain. Jesus has a better way of looking at your emotions that can get you out of that without all the drugs. I'm not saying medicine's wrong. I'm just saying it shouldn't be our addiction. Jesus has a better way. When you look at your spouse, Jesus has a better way. Jesus has a better way of seeing your wife or your husband. The Bible says this, love your wife as Christ loves the church. If I love my wife the way that I want to be loved, I'm selfish. It won't work out real well. But if I love her the way Christ loves the church, then I understand I can give myself up for her. I can destroy my own self so that she can have life. I can give all that I have to her without expecting return. Now see, normal people don't do that. Only people that can live in the way that Christ has for them. Let's get off of that because I can see right now that that's not going. We better get on to something else. I will say this, in Isaiah 43:19, it says this, see, I'm doing a new thing, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive? Can you not see I'm doing something new in your life today? There's some of y'all, you came in here today, you just expected same old church, you expected to come in, go out. You wanted to get home in time to watch your ball team play, get home in time to eat your lunch. And Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter how long you stay in church, it doesn't matter where your church is located, I can do something new in your life if you'll just pay attention to it. I got something for you if you'll just learn to take it. Pick up what I'm putting down. Amen? Amen. Jesus says this in John chapter 14. It says, I'm the way. Then he says, I am the truth. I am the truth. Now, you want to get somebody to really get up here and preach this to you, right? You need to get my wife up here. We were in this small group the other day, man. We're sitting there, all these preachers sitting around, and they're saying, what did you learn out of this week's lesson or whatever? And I give this thought, and I'm thinking, this is a good thought, you know, because I'm a preacher, and I know how to present a good thought, and I give this thought, and everybody's like, yeah, okay. And all of a sudden, Perry's like, well, here's what I learned, and she spoke what I'm about to speak, and by the time she got done saying it, like, these are professional preachers, and they're all taking notes on what she said. Oh, that's good. I'm going to use that. I'm going to take that. I want to go, shut up, Beverly. I wanted to go hide at that point. Let me tell you something. Jesus is a better truth. He's a better truth. See, there's a difference between truth and fact. There's a difference between truth and fact. There may be a fact that you've got cancer, but the truth is, by his stripes, you are healed. There may be a fact that your cancer is terminal, you're going to die tomorrow. The truth is, when you die, you go to heaven to be with him, right? If you're saved. There may be a fact in your life that the boss is going to cut your pay. The truth is, I'll provide all your needs. See, there's truth and there's fact. And sometimes we get hung up on the facts and we forget that Jesus is the truth. And it's different than the facts. It's better than the facts. Why? Because Jesus is better. Jesus' best friend, Lazarus, dies. Tragically, with an illness. And the thing is, Jesus didn't even show up, right? Like, he's dying and Jesus didn't get there. And you would think, if anybody can heal him, it's going to be Jesus. And he didn't even come. And Jesus gets there, and Lazarus' sisters are crying. They're weeping. They're upset. As a matter of fact, even Jesus, the Bible says, cried. He was that torn up about Lazarus dying. And they start talking to Jesus about, you know, Lazarus being dead, and why weren't you here, and all this kind of stuff. And Jesus has this interesting fact. He says, even though you may die, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Lazarus may be dead, but I'm resurrection power. There's power inside of me, not only to raise him from the dead, raise myself from the dead. There's power inside of me to resurrect the dead. So it doesn't matter that he dies, I'm life. The fact is, Lazarus is dead. The truth is, Jesus is the resurrection. So what does he do? You've all heard the Carmen song. Lazarus, come forth, right? Y'all didn't hear the Carmen song. If you heard the Carmen song, it was funny. Shane knows, because we listen to old cheesy music sometimes. So Jesus calls Lazarus out of the grave. He raises him from the dead. Why? Because he's a better truth. So whenever you start hearing bad reports or you start thinking bad things, even about yourself, what you need to do is you need to capture those thoughts. The enemy's going to come to you. The evil one's going to come to you, and he's going to tell you stuff, Sandra, about yourself. He's going to tell you about your health. He's going to tell you about your life. He's going to tell you about your body. A lot of us deal with that, right? We start looking at our physical. I looked at my physical man today, totally embarrassed, because I was trying to do a little trimming of my beard. And whenever I did, I accidentally gapped up this side right here. So if you look real close, this side's real thin. This side's a little bit thicker, right? Tried to work on it. It's gapped up. I was embarrassed. Well, look, when the enemy comes to you and he starts telling you about stuff about yourself, you got to remember those may be facts, but there's a truth. There's a truth. And the truth is Jesus loves you and he sees you different than the devil sees you. He sees you different than you see you. Jesus is a better way. Jesus is a better truth. Let me give you the last one today. And it's John. It's also in John 10:10. You can go ahead and turn there. But he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The life. John 10:10 says this. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Have it to the full. Now look, that word to the full there, some versions say it different. Some versions say more abundantly, right? And that word means exceeding, more than enough, just over abundance, running over. In other words, what Jesus is saying is he's saying, I've come to give you life, but then I've also come to give you even more than that, an exceedingly great life. The enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy. I've come to give you something even better than that. I've come to give you life. I've come to give you life. Not just life like, hey, I'm alive, walking around, breathing. That's good. But he's come to give you something better than that. I think sometimes as Christians, we struggle because we think that we've got to live this kind of base layer life, this kind of lifestyle that keeps us what we call humble, but sometimes it's really just false humility. And Jesus says, I've come to give you life and life more abundant. Now, I'm not saying everybody in the room is going to be driving Bentleys and living in mansions. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I am saying this. I am saying he's come to give you an exceedingly great life. There's no reason you should go through life poor mouthing. You should go through life looking down on yourself. You should go through life discouraged and depressed. He's come to give you an exceedingly great life so that you can be happy. You can enjoy what you're doing. You can walk in freedom. You can walk in holiness, right? He's given you the option of this great life, and it's up to us to take it. It's up to us to take it. Now, in Revelation 21, the Bible says this. This is the verse I've just been chewing on for about 2 weeks now. And the poor old staff, y'all think I tell y'all the same thing over and over again. The staff hears it every like three times a week. So here's what the Bible says. It says, Jesus speaking, it says, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Listen to this. Underline this in your Bible if you got it, or highlight it in your phone. It says, to the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of life. To the thirsty, I will give you water from the spring of life without cost. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, I got some free water, and this free water will give you life. Now, does he literally mean he's going to give us water? Obviously not. It's a metaphor that he's got this life and life more abundant that he wants to present to you as a gift for free. For free. We don't get anything free in this world. Every time I go to some store or something, they say they got something free and you get it. There's all kinds of fees and stuff attached to it, right? I say, free, all you got to do is pay shipping and handling. And shipping and handling is like $100. Like, well, what? That's not right, you know? Jesus says, I got something free for you. But he does give a requirement. He doesn't give a cost. He gives a requirement. The requirement is that you're thirsty. That you're thirsty. That you're passionate. That you're hungry. That you want it. That you desire it. He says, look, I'm not just going to throw my free water around because some people, the Bible says, don't cast your pearls before swine or give out your gifts to dogs. Why? Because they'll trample on it. They'll walk over it. Jesus says, look, there's some folks out there that don't want what I've got. But if you want it, it's yours for free. All you got to do is have some desire. Can I tell you something God's been dealing with me lately is my level of desire, my level of passion. It's not about how much Bible I've been reading or how often or how long I've been praying. It's not about my fast. It's not about any kind of work that I do. It's all about my level of desire for him. Amen. He says, Gabriel, I got some abundant life for you, but I want you to be thirsty. And if you'll just be thirsty, I'll give it to you for free. It's yours. It's yours. Let me close today. We got to go baptize some folks. Pastor Shane is actually doing all the baptisms today, I think, except for maybe one. It's his first time, so let's hope he doesn't hold you under too long. Don't worry, I'll be there to help. I'll be there to help. I always like to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I always like to tell the story of the time I was baptized. I tell it every time, but it's okay because there's new people here today. I was helping baptize one time in this church, and they had this guy that was like the baptizer. Like, he was the main one. He always got to do the baptisms. And then they just grabbed like one of the other lower tier staff people like me. They're like, hey, just get up there and help him, right? And I didn't really have a good job. I was just kind of in the way. And so I got up there, and this baptismal pool was kind of small. And so they got this guy in there, and he goes to dunk the guy in the water. Whenever he does, he lines him up wrong because it's a real small baptismal pool. You're supposed to get all the way to the left. He lines him up right in the middle. So when he starts coming down, I'm supposed to be there. You know, this is my job right here. You know, just help him in, help him out. Man, they start lowering that dude down, and I realize I can't get out of the way. And he's too far over, and I'm stuck like this. Like, he's on my head. I mean, on my stomach. His head's on my stomach. And I couldn't get out of the way, so I finally just grabbed his face and went, boom, just stuck him under. I did get him up, it's good. Hopefully today that won't happen. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Here's your takeaway today. I want you to understand today that Jesus is a better way, he's a better truth, and he's a better life. And it's free. You just got to be thirsty. Everybody say thirsty. When I preach, I get really thirsty. And my voice just, I tear it up because I get really thirsty. This is my third bottle of water. I had two of them back there. And when I'm preaching, I get so thirsty. Like, as soon as service is over today, if there's anything left in here, it'll be gone, and I'll probably grab another one. And it's one of those things, like, even before I came out, like, I'm frantically, y'all can't see this because the curtain's there, but I'm frantically looking for water. And the team that does all the party time, they're back there, and I'm like, hey, I need water, I need water, I need water. I'm like I'm driving them crazy because I need water. Until somebody finally gets me some water, I'm in a panic. Obviously, Jesus doesn't want you panicking, but he wants you thirsty to the point that you're willing to say, I'll give up anything. I'll push everything aside until I can get something. I don't care what I got to do. I just need that life. I need that better way. I need that truth today. He wants you thirsty. He wants you thirsty. Look at this real quick. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, listen to this. This right here is a bone that you'll choke on. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I'm going to pause there for a second. Because a lot of times in my life, that verse right there, I hate that verse right there. I hate it because I can't ever do it. I hate it because I always want to throw off the sin, throw off the entanglements, throw off the chains. And for some reason, I always get caught up in those same things again. I want to remove that, but sometimes I still get caught in it. And I hate that verse. And the reason I hate it is because I don't understand how to make it work until I got a revelation on it. And listen to this, it's not very deep at all. I hate to even say revelation in front of Pastor Jones, Pastor Shane's dad. He's forgotten more about preaching than I'll ever know. But here's what the Bible says. Now, the whole time Jesus has told us, you can't defeat sin. Like we understand that, right? Like you and I will never defeat sin on our own. They tried that. They called it the law. And they had to sacrifice stuff. They had to kill things. And they just never could overcome it on their own. And so the truth is, the truth is, you can't do it. You can't do it. But let me tell you something Jesus has for us. He also has a thing called grace. Let me tell you the grace part. So we read that. We say, okay, God, thank you. I need to get rid of the sin. I need to get rid of the entanglements. I need to get rid of even good things that just hinder me. So how do I do it? Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Now look, I did a study on that. The word fix there, the word fix, to fix your eyes on something, it's two words actually. It's like ado horea. It's like two words put together. And the first part of the word literally means to remove everything out of the way. It means to lose focus on all the other stuff around. And then the second word means to see something, to focus, to hone in on one thing. And it says literally to see it in your mind. See, I think sometimes we read the Bible like that where it says fix your eyes. And some of us that are simple-minded, we say, well, I can't see Jesus. How do I accomplish that? It's not even about seeing with your eyes. Sometimes it's about seeing with your mind, with what's inside of you, that I'm going to see, I'm going to focus, I'm going to fix my eyes on this so much so that everything else just gets blurry. I tell you, a lot of times in life, I lose that part of it. Sometimes I mean, I'll be honest. Y'all like it when I confess. It makes you feel better about yourself. Sometimes I read my Bible so that I can get ready for a sermon. Sometimes I pray, and I've told you this before, sometimes my prayer is consumed with church. And that's not what God wants at all. Why? Because although I'm doing a good thing, I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, I'm looking at all the other distractions, and there's Jesus, and he's saying, if you'll just focus on me, I'll take care of everything else. So I've had to learn, spend time with just him. Spend time with no request whatsoever. Spend time not worried about a sermon. Just focus on me. I got up this morning to read my Bible, and then, look, to be honest, I only read one chapter. I mean, that's all I read. I know that's not super spiritual, but I read my one chapter. But whenever I read on one chapter this morning, I just said, God, there's three or four chapters in my Bible reading plan, and I could read those. But Jesus, today, I just want to hear from you. I just want to learn about you. I just want to know you. I want to spend time with just you today. So I read the chapter that was out of the Gospels, and I just focused in. I thought, what does Jesus got to say to me today? Not what does Jesus want to say to the church. Not what does Jesus want to say about my family. Just what do you want to say to me today? Because I want to hang out with you. For the next few minutes, I just want to hang out with you and just talk to you and hear from you. See, I think sometimes we get so focused on all the other stuff. Look, we get so focused on our sin sometimes we can't talk to God for apologizing. I know I need to stop, and I will stop after I say this. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I've got some friends in the church that they just are lovely people, but they always feel like, I don't know, maybe I put off this like mean vibe, but they always feel like maybe they've upset me or hurt my feelings. Paul's one of them. And they apologize all the time about nothing. Will's another one. Wherever Will is today, he may be up there. I'm not sure where Will is. Will's another one, my friend Will Betts. Will will come up to me, he'll apologize for something. And I'm like, bro, I'm not even mad. Like, I didn't see it like you saw it. But these guys apologize. Now, that's a good thing. It really is a good thing. Because if they ever do really mess up, they need to be able to apologize. But here's the thing. my relationship with them isn't so shallow that everything they do hurts my feelings. And so I'm cool with, like, we're good. And you know what? We do the same thing to God sometimes, though. We'll come to God, we'll sin, we'll mess up, we'll have a bad attitude, whatever the case may be. And our whole prayer life is spent saying, God, I'm so sorry. Oh, God, please forgive me. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I feel so bad. God, please forgive me. Please forgive me. God's like, yo, I did that the first time you asked. Now let's move on. What's next? Can we just hang out now? Like, can we just be friends? Can just like Pastor preached about, I want to be with you. Can we just do that? So last week I went to another church on Monday with a friend of mine that's a pastor at this other church. And he just invited me over because we were talking and we said, man, I just feel like I just need to spend time with Jesus and not pray. Just spend time with him. Just love on him. He said, man, come over to my church. Let's do it. So I went over to his church. We went in a room, turned on praise and worship music. We didn't ask God for one thing. All we did was just sit there and just love Jesus, man. I just talked to Jesus, told him how wonderful he was. That's what he wants, man. He wants you. Not your works. Not your rules, not your regulations. At the end of the day, we read the scripture last week. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll get it. Just focus on loving me first. All right, I got to stop. Why don't you bow your heads with me today? Close your eyes. Nobody looking around.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.